edition of You, Me and Web3, a podcast brought to you by Web3 tech company Forge. I hope you missed us as we took a break last week. And if you're a new listener, then where have you been? This is the Web3 podcast where we speak to industry leaders, leaving all the jargon at the door, breaking things down into easily digestible chunks. On to today then, and we have a guest who has her own successful podcast and has recently been voted as one of the most influential women in crypto. So it's a big You, Me and Web3 hello to Lauren Ingram. Lauren, welcome to you. And what can you tell the listeners about your career and journey to Web3? Because it's been interesting to say the least.
Well, thank you for having me. In any case, I'm very happy to be here. So my background is, I'm Lauren Ingram. I'm now the founder of Women of Web3. But before that, I've worked my way up through digital agencies and tech companies, from like tiny little tech startups all the way up to working at Meta when it was Facebook. And then the reason I've ended up in Web3 is because when I was at Facebook, I was a contractor trying to go permanent, didn't manage to because this was super, super competitive during the pandemic, no headcount. And so my contract came to an end and I found out I was pregnant and I was like, this is terrible timing. Was thinking, what can I skill up in order to kind of future-proof myself and sort of get back into big tech? As it turns out, I've ended up staying in Web3. I haven't needed even, I've either failed to get back into big tech, like Web2, or I think I've sort of found a more interesting path actually. I think, Web3 is incredibly exciting and I feel really happy to be here.
Fantastic. You mentioned your popular podcast there as well. What made you come up with the idea for that then?
I recognized there were a lot of, mainly guys in Web3. So I was thinking, I think we need a place for women to come together to be able to learn together and also just sort of feel represented in this space. I think, if you are in a minority, it's quite nice to feel like there is a group, a community that you can join. It's the same principle as a lot of Web3 communities, which is that sense of belonging. So I've created the Women of Web3 community. And alongside that, created a podcast because what we're hearing from women, especially people that are beginners in this space, is it's so overwhelming when you're new to Web3 that it's like, where do you even start looking? Where do you start learning?
Yes.
How are you going to get through all the jargon? So created a podcast to kind of demystify it, make sense of it, and also interview interesting women and thereby sort of creating female role models to be like, oh, actually, there are some fantastic women in the space. Maybe that's something I can do as well.
No, that's fantastic. Such a good idea. And thank you for explaining that to us. I've heard you say in a couple of interviews as well that you believe that women are the future of Web3. It's really interesting, isn't it, as a talking point, because statistics would probably show there's more men making the move into the Web3 space. What makes you believe this so strongly?
I suppose I don't think women are the kind of be-all and end-all, but I think Web3 will get more interesting if you do have a sort of wider variety of people, including women.
Yes.
And actually, I think even if you're a Web3 founder, building blockchain-based products, if you're able to appeal to like the other 50% of the population, then also, you'd be laughing all the way to the bank. So I think there's also, a business opportunity in broadening that appeal. I do think there's something about the fact that I don't know if it's like men have a more sort of natural interest in some of these things, or like I think a lot of like fan-based communities tend to be more male.
Yeah.
And so women aren't already necessarily participating in those. And so when they get to somewhere like Web3, which is a sort of blockchain-based version of those fan-based communities, they're like, oh, I think maybe this isn't for me. So maybe I'm not meant to be here. But
right.
I'd love to sort of change that balance and help them feel welcome in Web3.
You've touched upon it there, Lauren, and you've already accumulated a huge network of females, which is fantastic. How did you grow and develop that? And how do you plan on maintaining it going forward?
Yeah. So it might be a surprise that we don't have a Discord.
Right.
That was...
Why?
Yeah. A couple of reasons. One is... One of the reasons is at the time that I started Women of Web3, I'd had my baby by that point and he was sort of really tiny. And I was thinking, I actually can't deal with all of these notifications as well as doing the like nappy changes.
Not another app on your phone, yeah.
Essentially, yeah. It's so time consuming looking after, a tiny baby. I'd sort of was using up my bandwidth, brain bandwidth, just kind of, joining other people's Twitter spaces, doing what I could to build this community. And the idea of also trying to keep on top of a community, owning a community or running a community and having the sort of Discord notifications for that, I was like, I can't, I've like reached my like brain capacity limit. And actually it turned out to be quite a good decision, because that's something we keep hearing actually from the community of women, is they also feel actually quite overwhelmed by Discord and kind of feel like, oh, I don't know if that's actually quite right for me. That's not quite how I want to communicate.
Yes.
So we've got alternatives, and that includes actually in-person events, and that's something that people seem to find really valuable. Coming back to your question about, so how have we grown it? In a way, we are a bit like a sort of Web 2 community that's exploring Web 3. So if you look at what our channels are, you know, we're sort of biggest on things like LinkedIn and Twitter and a podcast. You know, those are all sort of Web 2 technologies.
Yeah.
And Web 2 platforms. And having said that, I think people who are beginners, and because we do have like a lot of beginners in our community, value being able to, like, you know, they do recognize things like, you know, everyone knows how to use a podcast, I'd imagine the majority of people, and it feels like a sort of safer way to kind of gradually make your way into this stuff when you're not quite ready to be like buying NFTs, trading crypto, whatever, and you're like no, just show me the safe way first, and then when I'm ready, I'll start doing this stuff.
You touched upon it in your previous answer there, and lots of different technologies are emerging on such a regular basis. What is the, I guess, the background of the women that are coming into Web3, and what direction are they heading towards when they enter the Web3 space?
Yeah. So there's probably not a standard way that people come in, although I suppose in our community, a few sort of popular industries or routes in might be things like they've come from as agencies or consulting, actually sometimes quite a lot of other tech startups, but like sort of non-Web3, I guess, you know, Web2 tech startups, and have kind of, so they've already got that kind of, you know, being thrown in the deep end, quite immersive way of working. And then they've sort of seen this like shiny new area and been like, how do I get involved in that?
Yeah, cool.
And then in terms of where they are interested to sort of end up, because we do also have like a jobs platform for women to find roles in Web3. And it feels like a lot of what the vacancies are quite often more technical or product management and some community focused. Mm-hmm. And what women in our community are looking for often is something quite creative.
Yes.
There's probably slightly fewer creative opportunities in this space, but that's not to say that won't change quite quickly, because it's such a sort of new industry and it's so like driven by the tech itself, I suppose. I think we'll see more of the creative stuff catching up later. So I actually don't have any data to sort of prove it either way, but what I'm hearing from women is that they're interested in things like, brands doing NFT drops, the metaverse, and the sort of creative capabilities there. That feels like a lot of the time what seems to be interesting women more so than things like DeFi and sort of more pure sort of blockchain plays.
Interesting. And we're really focused in Web3 education on the UME and Web3 podcast, but why is education so important in your mission as well?
Yeah, that is something I feel really passionate about, is educating everybody about Web3. I mean, broadly, our mission is to educate as many women as possible about Web3 and help them seize opportunities in it. But I think the reason the education point is important is just making this amazing new set of opportunities available to everybody, and sort of leveling the playing field using education. And the other reason I think it's important is because, as I'm sure you're also familiar with, like sometimes the user experience of like Web3 products leaves something to be desired, and like, you know, it's quite hard to like buy an NFT. Like, just there's just a lot of like piddling around, and I'm sure in like 3 years' time we'll have managed to circumvent a lot of the slightly taxing, you know, ways of having to interact with some of this stuff. And so while we're in this stage of trying to, you know, if lots of people in Web3 would love for there to be sort of wider adoption, probably not going to see that until the user experience improves. So in the meantime, you just got to educate as many women, as many people as possible of like, how does this stuff work? How can you navigate it safely?
No, it's really interesting indeed. And Web3, as we know, is packed full of creativity with everybody jostling for a position out there. What are some of your tips so that people can perhaps stand out from the crowd?
I suppose my advice for standing out from the crowd would be around sharing your learnings. That was the way I ended up doing what I'm doing, is that just at the very beginnings of things, before I'd started Women of Web3, I was literally just sharing what I'd learned in my sort of explorations of what happened when I tried to buy an NFT? How difficult was it? Like I was, you know, sort of wrote out this like 10 step or like 11 step process of like, here's how I bought an NFT, and sharing learnings like that has then meant that people then know that I am interested in or operate in that space. And I think if you are already interested in Web3, it kind of feels like everybody is. But actually, as soon as you step outside of it, you realize we are really still quite a small, it's quite, you know, it's still quite niche in a way. Uh-huh. And so if you are able to be sharing that stuff with other people, like your wider network, then you'll be kind of known as the Web3 person, and people come to you with opportunities.
There's absolutely endless Web3 debates online. You don't have to search far for some of them. One report this week, for example, claimed that AI could save or kill the metaverse. What's your view on some of the debates and reports we read at the moment, and perhaps the press reporting in general of Web3?
I think you're absolutely right about the fact that it was always boom or bust in anything like Web3 or the metaverse. It is kind of an area of extremes that, like, I was putting together a slide deck for something, and I just did a sort of Google news search of words like NFTs, crypto, metaverse, and so many of the headlines, like regardless of when you look or like what day of the week, there'll always be something that leads with something like NFTs are dead, now what? Or like the metaverse isn't dead, it's here to stay forever, because it's very like extreme of like it's either, you know, our future and our savior, or it's like dead in the water. Doesn't seem to be much in between. But I mean that's not really the way I feel about it. Like I feel very optimistic about where things are going. I don't see Web3 as the be all and end all, in the same way as, you know, when we started having social media and, you know, when we started having access to Web 2.0 technologies, we didn't then say like, well, we don't need websites and email then.
No.
It's just a different way of interacting online. I think it's going to be the same thing with things like, you know, we'll own NFTs as things like, you know, there'll be the digital art and membership and things like that, but it'll also be like our house deeds will probably be NFTs, or, you know, insurance policies, like sometimes quite dry stuff, will probably live on the blockchain. And actually become much more normal to, I was going to say interact in the metaverse, but actually it's probably whatever word Apple is going to get us to adopt based on their new Apple Vision Pro, which I guess is sort of spatial computing. But, you know, we are broadly talking about the same thing in terms of the metaverse. Like, we're talking about a more immersive way of interacting online. Yeah, we're not just going to sort of drop Instagram completely because we're able to do some things in a more 3D way. Mm-hmm. I suppose... overall, I am feeling optimistic about what comes next, but I'm not a kind of Web3 at all costs. I'm just kind of trying to encourage people to sort of see the potential in this stuff.
Yes, absolutely. Really interesting. Again, and this is really cool as well, Lauren, because you've been listed as one of the most influential women in crypto. That's an amazing achievement. How did you reach such a level, and what's your story? What's the big secrets behind that?
Well, you know, just got to be the best, haven't you?
I didn't want to say.
I don't think I really have a story for being for like how I've got to something like that. That was only very recently announced. Actually, we might have been talking about slightly different things. There's been two different lists that I'm named on. That makes me sound the opposite of modest.
Oh, right. Okay.
There was one that was literally announced yesterday, so I don't know if you might not have seen it.
What was that? Tell you what that was.
That was called the Financial News Top 10 Women in Crypto. Top 20, sorry.
A double whammy.
Because a lot of what we're doing is bootstrapped, so it's literally just me putting my own money into running events. And then if we're able to get sponsorship, then great. And if we're not, then that's cost me money. To get this kind of external validation is great. It sort of, shows exactly that it, like, we're going the right direction. This is worth doing. People are finding it valuable, and they're, you know, learning something and being able to do something with it. So I don't necessarily have a story of how I sort of got to that stuff, but again, maybe some of it does come back to sort of sharing your learnings and sharing your winnings, your journey. It feels quite embarrassing sharing this stuff on LinkedIn, but also if I don't do it, then people don't know that it's happened. So what else do you do?
Quite well, please accept my congratulations for that then, because it's quite the achievement. So really, really well done for that, Lauren. Do you think Web3, the metaverse and NFT, do you think they'll ever be truly accepted?
think it'll take a while. I remember when I told my friends a couple of years ago that I was going to be moving into this stuff, a couple of them definitely expressed some cynicism. I mean, that was 2 years ago. They were like, well, don't you think this is just going to be, you know, a lot of hype and then it's just going to sort of die off completely? And I thought, I said, no, I don't think so. I think we will, this stuff eventually will get accepted. You know, the technology will get better. It already has been, you know, improving by the day. You see like better use cases, like, I don't know, like cool NFT collections or different brands entering the space. There's kind of more and more good signs that we're heading in the right direction. So yeah, it will take a while though for kind of man or woman on the street, for it to feel normal to them to like buy an NFT or like, you know, be buying digital fashion for their avatar in the metaverse. Like, it's going to take a little while. And actually just going back again to the Apple Vision Pro, the new headset that was announced, well, that's obviously very expensive. So that'd be sort of prohibitively expensive for lots of people, but yes, it does also kind of change the game in terms of it being a more normal technology of like, I think it's going to get everybody else to kind of level up their game really. And so I'm excited to see more like immersive experiences, more mixed reality, people sort of testing things out in this space, and a sort of better joining up of things like AI, metaverse, you know, using your NFTs in sort of more immersive environments. It all sort of start knitting together better.
We haven't spoken about gaming yet, which is and always will be absolutely huge. How much of a part is that playing in enticing women over from the mainstream?
I have a sort of mixed response for that, which is that women are again in the minority when it comes to gaming. Mm-hmm. And sometimes gaming could be not particularly accepting or welcoming to women. You know, in like some pockets of it can be really quite extreme. So I think if women are already interested in gaming and kind of and haven't been too put off by some of the other, I don't know, like comments in game or things like that, then it is quite a natural progression of like, if you've already got some interest in gaming, then you start kind of exploring, you know, if you're starting to like, you know, buy skins and things, or you know, using digital currencies of some kind, you might be like, okay, want to learn more about crypto, or want to actually buy, you know, other NFTs on OpenSea or something like that instead. But on the sort of discrimination point, it's not something I'd talk about loads, partly because I'm not a massive gamer and partly because I think it sort of can scare people off, like,
yes,
men as well, of like, I don't know, it's not a very nice area of the internet basically, which is that, I don't know, a good little example of it, I need to look up which brand did this actually, but they got some like well-known male gamers who are sort of big on Twitch to mm-hmm. use sort of voice changing, you know, AI software to change their voices to women's voices and put them in games, and just seeing what a completely different reaction they got, and just like basically never-ending abuse of like really like horrendous stuff of, you know, what people would do to them, or like basically telling them to F off like the whole time, just like awful. Yeah. Basically, I think it was like really like hit home for these gamers. I tell you, it's such a different experience if you're a female gamer. So I mean, that's not exclusively the experience for women, but it's definitely harder to get into it. I mean, I think that's probably part of why I haven't sort of fully adopted that stuff myself, is can't really be bothered to deal with that kind of abuse as well as playing.
Wow. Okay then. Well, sorry to hear that. Nobody, of course, should have to put up with any level of abuse in any walk of life. So certainly that's comes as a slight surprise to me, I must admit. But you had a dinner party then, and what's your Web3 sales pitch to any women listening to this? Not that you would probably start pitching at a dinner party, by the way.
I mean, I probably would. what is my sales pitch? That's a great question. It is a tricky one because it's quite hard to encapsulate Web3 in a very concise way. I think there's two elements. One is the kind of more like typical aspect of Web3 of like, if we're moving towards decentralization, you could have sort of better ownership of your own digital self, your digital belongings. Yes. That's part of what's really exciting and revolutionary about Web3. But I think when talking about to an audience of women, I'll come back to that sort of creativity point of like, I'll be talking about some of the sort of interesting use cases of like, you know, whether it's like cool brands that are entering Web3, or yeah, the metaverse, Apple Vision Pro, any of those more sort of slightly more entertainment focused, or slightly more like about immersive technology and moving away from using our little rectangular screens into something mm-hmm. more three-dimensional. That seems to be what people or what women react to better when I talk to them about it. There is something still about the sort of NFT royalties that I think speaks to people, of like the idea of if that digital asset of some kind can retain its value or perceived value, the idea that you could still be getting royalties from in the future. I think that also speaks to, I was going to say mums, but I think I was meaning parents, of the idea of some kind of like passive yeah. income, of like if you need to take like parental leave or you've got caring responsibilities, the idea that something might be earning you money in the background is certainly interesting.
We traditionally end the podcast with a prediction question, Lauren. So here's yours, and stand by. What role will women play in Web3 over the next 12 to 18 months, and how will their impact be recognised?
Ooh, another great question. I would hope we'll play a much bigger role on the kind of on the world stage when it comes to Web3. I'd love to see sort of wider adoption and also more women founding Web3 businesses, whether it's kind of yeah blockchain businesses, NFT projects, like anything actually in Web3. Because at the moment, I think it's 87% of Web3 startups have all male founding teams. Like that is quite an extreme stat, that, you know, like 9 out of 10 startups don't have any women whatsoever on their founding team, as you know, Web3 startups. So I would love to see in the sort of next 12 to 18 months that number sort of comes down, because I think also guys would love to see a more balanced Web3. Presumably guys don't only want to hang out with other guys when, you know, networking in a professional sense or being a consumer in this space. So I'd love to see women taking more leadership roles.
Lauren, it's been absolutely fantastic to have you on the You, Me and Web3 podcast. Thank you very much indeed. If anyone is listening and wants to get in touch with you, is it via Twitter? And how can you link them through to your podcast as well?
Yeah, of course. You can either find me on LinkedIn. I'm just Lauren Ingram. I've got a yellow background. That's sort of easy to find that way. Or the Women of Web3 podcast. We're on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or on Twitter. We're on at Women of Web3 Co.
Lauren, that's fantastic. Thank you. So that was Lauren Ingram, who I'm sure you will agree had some fascinating stories, and do check her podcast out as well. You won't be disappointed with that. If you like what you've heard today, go back through the You, Me and Web3 archives for more insightful interviews, and keep an eye out on the Forge official Twitter feed. That's at Forge official on Twitter for more live shows. Until next time, take care.